Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. Of course, most of you know by now that my name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, as well as our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor, once again, to introduce the other half of the co-host for this particular show, and that's Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say it's a blessing to share in the truth of the Word of God on this show. And, of course, this is our 18th show, and we will continue to discuss the Passover. So thank you, Rabbi John, and I'll hand it back over to you.
Okay, and I'll start it off with prayer. Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, thank you once again for another day, another opportunity to get before you, to humble ourselves before you, to ask forgiveness for any sin, iniquity, and transgression, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly. Father, we ask you to please forgive us. We use the blood of Yeshua and the atonement of Yeshua for that permission. We also ask that you give us your strength by way of your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, so that we can also be able to have the strength to forgive others, the strength to forgive them their sin, iniquity, and transgression that they may have done to us and our family. Father, we just pardon them by your power and by your strength, not by our own strength, because we know that our strength is limited, but your strength, your anointing, your Holy Spirit is without measure. It's unlimited. So we grasp a hold of that. We hold on to that dearly for them and for ourselves. Father, I thank and praise you for another broadcast. I thank you for the anointing that you bring, and we wait on you. We allow you to entertain us with a fuller understanding of how we are to walk and to be intimate with you, how we are to fellowship with you and with others, how are we to die to self and to allow you to take the preeminence that you desire in our lives. We submit that to you right now, and we thank you as you begin this broadcast, that it be as a sweet-smelling savior into your nostrils, that it would be that aroma that you desire, that you are more than pleased. Let it be more than just a good or well-pleasing, but let it be fully, completely within the perfect will of your desire for what we are to be doing today. In Yeshua's name, amen.
In Yeshua's name, amen. And so as a recap of our show, thank you, amen to the prayer. As a recap to the show from the 17th show, we were addressing, and of course, just so you all know, the questions have been addressed over from show number 11 up until now, and it's dealing with the Passover. There were three questions that were addressed: is what is it, how is it observed, and why is it important? And in the last show, Rabbi asked us to search the items that would be on the cedar plate, and that came from Exodus 12, verses 1 through 9, with the concentration on verses 8 and 9. The three items was the lamb or goat, ram, the unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. We also looked at Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 6 and 10, relating to Yeshua, and understanding that it was Yeshua's soul that was an offering. And remember that Passover is exclusive, but the Torah is for everyone. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Amen. So with this particular broadcast, I don't want to take too much time putting too much emphasis on the things that are not biblical, but I want to make sure that I cover them so that if any of you desire to go to a Passover, to a Seder, that someone introduced you to, or maybe it's just a desire that you may have yourself personally, it's imperative that you understand what is and what is not biblical. And understanding what is biblical helps you to understand that that is what's going to draw the and bring the relationship that is mandated by Yah for you and for I to do with him. Now, what's not biblical, it will help you to distinguish between the two and not get caught up in all of the rhetoric and the ritual of things, because that in and of itself, although maybe seemingly is innocent, can quickly become something that the spirit of occultism can get involved in. So real quick, I'm just going to go over what is considered a traditional Seder plate and the items on the Seder plate. First of all, the items that we already know to be true, okay, is the bitter herbs, okay, the lamb, all right, and then what is used as the haroshet or the parsley is often used for another aspect of aspect of the bitter herbs, but also the matzah. Okay, so it's those three things: the bitter herbs, which would be the aspect of the horseradish or the parsley or some kind of green leafy type of plant, if you will. But those are the main ones that are used, as well as the lamb and the matzah. So those are the three. Now let's go over the Seder plate itself. The Seder plate itself, what you're going to, for most Seder plates, you're going to find where it has approximately six items. So there'll be six items on the plate. If you can visualize this, there'll be six items on the plate, and those items will be items that you would place in the Seder, you would place upon the plate. And of course, we all know that, you may not know, but we all know that the Seder plate itself is a part of telling the story. The most important part of Passover, period, bar none, is to tell the story so that that story can be shared from generation to generation to generation forever. That is key. Now, what you may not know from a New Testament believer perspective pertaining to telling the story is found in, and I believe we shared this before, but it's important that we kind of go back over this one more time, and that is in Genesis chapter 18, 19. So, Evangelist Tanita, if you can get Genesis chapter 18, 19, then we'll go over that, okay, real quick. And as she's doing that, understand that this is the blessing. This is the blessing not only pertaining to, Passover or Pesach, but this is the blessing pertaining to everything that has to do with Torah that will affect directly, not indirectly, but directly will affect yours and my chiastic structure. Every prophetic word, when I say chiastic structure, I'm talking about the purpose for why you're here. So when you begin to look back at that and say, okay, well, how does the purpose of why I'm here, and this is the question right now, right, have to do and is tied up in not only Genesis 18, 19, but also tied up in having to do this Passover, and more importantly, having to share the story or tell the story to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation forever. What is the wisdom? What is the benefit that I receive out of it? Well, Genesis 18, 19 will give you directly what the benefit is, okay? And I'll go ahead and let Evangelist Tanita read that for you. And, of course, this is pertaining to Abraham, but this is a key that the Father is speaking about pertaining to Abraham, which affects you and me.
Amen. Okay, Genesis 18, verse 19, New King James Version. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him.
That latter part says, so that he, being the Father God, can bring from the spiritual realm into the natural realm the very things that the Father God has spoken, prophetic words to Abraham. Ask yourself this question. Have you ever had anyone give you a prophetic word that you knew was of the Lord, that you knew that was God speaking. It resonated with something within inside of you. If you've ever had that happen, then this particular verse and this passage of Scripture helps you to realize the manifestation of that very word. How many of you, hopefully it's not many, but I doubt that that is true, but how many of you have received a prophetic word and boom, the Father just manifested that prophetic word? According to the Scripture, if you are not instructing your children according to His ways, then that prophetic word that has been given, although true, is like a carrot being dangled in front of a horse.
Wow.
That horse never, ever really achieves the fulfillment and the nourishment eating the carrot, because it's always placed inches beyond his reach. If you feel like everywhere you go, you get a prophetic word, but it is not materializing, you can use this Scripture. And you can begin to walk in the fullness of that by making sure that you walk righteously and justly according to the Father's ways that He's prescribed in the Word. Because when you do that, then you have that promise. And that promise is what we all seek for after. It's what we all desire. So this particular Passover that's found in Leviticus chapter, the commandment that's found in Leviticus chapter 23, is more than just a ritual do's and don'ts, or this is what I've told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It is connected, interconnected with your purpose, your call, those prophetic words that you know are of Him, of God, that resonate mm-hmm. with you but have not materialized to you. Don't ever let anyone talk you out of the riches of the blessings manifesting through the Old Testament as a New Testament believer. Don't ever allow them to talk you out of it. Because if they do, they're literally stealing the fate and the call and purpose of why you even exist.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that you never, ever should ever give anyone the benefit, especially the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, the six items that we're talking about as far as the traditional Seder plate, of course, is the bitter herbs, the lamb's shank bone, okay, the hereset, the horseradish, the parsley, as we've already discussed, and they also have in their traditional an egg. Now, understand, most of those six relate back to telling the story. But when you go back and do the research, which we're not going to do here, we've got a 30-minute program. We want to stay fixated on the actual question that was asked and keeping it always in a biblical reference. But the egg begins to go into the fertility issue with paganism. And yes, the Passover that we understand and see for the most part today has been inundated with paganism. And that's the reason why we share with you, always go back to what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It is very clear. Go back to what Yah says. It is very clear. When man begins to add to or take away from what Yah has already prescribed in His Word, we all know what the outcome is going to be in that particular scenario. In that particular scenario, you're always going to lose. You're always going to be without. You're always going to not be protected in the manner in which you should.
Yeah.
So it's imperative that we understand that even though with the structured, if you will, Seder plate that we have on our tables today, it is of the utmost importance for you to follow God's biblical narratives that he has set forth, not only in his word, but he set forth from generation to generation to generation to generation. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Evangelist Tanita, I want you to kind of reflect on what we've talked about here,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that we have answered those three questions properly before we begin to go into the next question. I just want to kind of recap and just make sure that they all are focused in on and correlating with the actual three-part question that we had said that we would answer pertaining to Passover.
Yes. And so one of the questions was, what is it? And you did a very good job of going through at the beginning, giving us the origin of Purim as well as Passover. And that was when Abram first went through with the covenant with him and God mm-hmm. and what happened in that moment,
right.
which I don't know if people recall, but with the Purim, it was 1 Samuel 15, 7 through 9. And then with the Passover, mm-hmm. it was in Genesis 15. And you did a very good job of letting us know where the main focus was when Abram at the time messed up. And that's Genesis 15, 1 through 16. With that being said, you also went into detail of the question was how is it observed, and it's observed in the month of Aviv, which is the first month of the year, and there were two important dates within that concerning Passover. The first one was the 10th day, which is when you invited the lamb or the animal, you befriended it into the home, and after 3.5 days, it would be sacrificed, and of course the blood would be put over the doorpost, and that was to protect that covenant. You've also stated that it's exclusive, which means that it's only for those people that were either born or engrafted in as Jews to participate in the Passover. Of course, Torah is for everyone, but the reason being because a curse could come upon those individuals if you're not in that covenant, whether it's the one with hands or without hands. And if I said it wrong, you
Amen.
Can correct me, Rabbi.
Yeah. No, you said that correct.
Okay. And then it's also important to understand that it always points back to what Yeshua did on the cross. And you addressed
Amen.
That in Isaiah chapter 53, where actually you showed what Yeshua did as the same way with the lamb and how it should be personal to us. And so, and what I really love was, and I don't know if many people caught this, was that when you said that his soul was offered, and I know we don't want to go into it, but, you know, we know that we're made of spirit, soul, and body. But it's interesting
mm-hmm.
that it's very specific about his soul, because that's
right.
That's who it was, his soul that was offered, and it was his soul that redeemed us so that we could be restored back to the Father. And of course, you know, I don't know a lot of people if they understand that or not, but I will put a plug in that this is where if they desire to go to Zul College, they can get a deeper understanding of that. And then, of course, with eating the cedar plate, like you said, there's a traditional, which is ritual, but we want to say within the biblical correctness, which is having those three items, which is the lamb or the shank, the unleavened bread, which was without sin, which is what Christ was, and then the bitter herbs. And so
Amen.
The brief overview of what I got, and of course, that will answer the question of why is it important. Well, it's important because, like you also stated, and the Bible says, that this is something that we were instructed to do. And you pointed it out over in Genesis 18, that Abram's children, it was supposed to be done from generation to generation to forever. And I don't know if many people understand that. And it also makes me think about what Jesus said. I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So there are certain parts to fulfill, but it doesn't mean that we are not to implement it. And we that, like you even shared, the richness that's in the Old Testament that's not always gained in the New Testament. And I don't know if people understand it. Well, I say this. The New Testament is a live story of the Old Testament because the people in the New Testament that are actually walking it out understood Torah. They lived Torah.
That's
so there were certain things that didn't always have to be said, which is why today the New Testament believer today needs to go back and study Torah and understand it so that they can interpret the word correctly and then know the do's and the don'ts and why his feet still stand and how to tie correctly. And, of course, we can go into a whole lot, but I'll stop there. And
this is good because it's good for me as well as the listener, because what it does is it allows both myself and the listener to realize and understand that, that you do have this and you understand it, and it's becoming a part of your DNA. It's becoming a part of who Yah is calling you to be. And that is a tremendous thing. And for me, as a teacher, as a rabbi, I enjoy watching and seeing the manifestation thereof, the manifestation of the mantle being placed and the baton being passed, and seeing that, it's not just me sharing it with others, but it's the Holy Spirit resonating within you that, hey, this is it. This is real. This is a part of who I am, a part of what I should be doing, a part of what keeps my relationship real. So it's great to hear that. It's fabulous to hear that. Now, with that being said, there were a couple of really good, all of it was good, but there was a couple of really good points that as you were sharing it, I was like, you know what? We need to make sure that they truly, like what you said, truly understand the implications that affect them, that affect their lives, that affect their relationship. And that Isaiah 53 and verse 10, like you said, a lot of people don't realize that the trichotomy concept, the threefold nature, if you will, of man, that in the Hebraic understanding, the soul was the most important. And the reason why was because the sin affected the soul. It lodged within the soul. Not that it didn't affect the body, because, of course, the diseases and things like that, scientists even today don't understand why in the world does the body that we have today get old? Why does it die? Why does it decay? When they look at, from a microscopic concept, they look at everything and they say it's so well designed, it should just continue to thrive and just stay at a certain age and never age after that. And the reason is sin. But even within that sin, it's lodged within the soul of the individual. And so we're supposed to be giving up when we get before Yah. We're supposed to be giving up or sacrificing, if you will, and remembrance of that sacrifice of the soul of Yeshua. We know that his body was sacrificed on the cross, but it was his soul that was enlarged in that body that became our propitiation, to include the blood, because the blood, is connected with the soul, obviously. But oftentimes individuals don't realize that, because they really believe that, it's got to be the spirit. It's got to be the spirit of Yeshua. But what we fail to realize is the Spirit went to God who gave it. And it was his soul that was the actual sacrifice. It was the element that the Father said, you do this and I will pardon them. Can you read that one more time before we close? And that is Isaiah 53, verse 10. And I pray that everyone doesn't get caught up and get lost, if you will, in the pronouns. you know, because it's easy to get lost in those pronouns, because there are a tremendous amount of pronouns in that passage. But it's imperative that they get a chance to see and understand this so that they can get a grasp, because this is a daily understanding as we go to Yah in our prayer life that we should, that we must get a grasp of. Go ahead and read.
Yes. Amen. And so Isaiah 53, verse 10, and New King James Version, and Rabbi, you can correct me, but I'll try to make sure I plug in the right, the Father, and then the Yeshua. It pleased the
right,
Lord.
Right,
the Father,
proper nouns, right, exactly.
Yes. It pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise him, Yeshua. The Father has put Yeshua to grief. When you make Yeshua's soul an offering for sin, he will see his seed, which I think we discussed
now
with us.
He will see his seed. He, being the Father, will see his seed, which is Yeshua.
Sure, okay. And the Father shall prolong his days, which is us.
And
right?
His days is our days. It's not Yeshua's days, because his days are already prolonged. We're the one that needs our days prolonged. We're the ones that need the blessings of Yah.
Pleasure of the Lord, which is the Father, shall prosper in his hand, which would be
And whose hand needs to have the prospering of the Lord? Exactly.
Us.
Us. So in us coming to the Father, there are times in our life when we are not doing or acting in the manner in which we need to. And in those times, we need the sacrifice of Yeshua. We need to bring to the remembrance of the Father, of the sacrifice of Yeshua. This is giving us that antidote. It's giving us that process. And it's explaining to us the importance of that soulish element to be able to satisfy and to rectify the incorrectness of the soulish element of us. Because his soul became an offering for the sin that was in our soul. It is our soul that will find its way either in heaven with him or in hell. And it was Yeshua's soul that had to pay the ransom of hell for us. Not his spirit. His spirit went back to God. His body went back to the dust. But it was his soul, as it says here. And and very much like Evangelist Tanita has said, we go into a tremendous amount of detail in scriptural references and analyses, if you will, biblically speaking, pertaining to the spirit, soul, body concept and aspect of things, and which one we really are, you know, which one is the real us, if you will. We go into deep detail pertaining to that at the college, along with some other Hebraic, biblically sound doctrines. So, but anyway, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and conclude with passing it to Evangelist Tanita to share information not only about the college, but about us and about how to get questions to us so that we can address your questions.
Yes. Amen. Another great show. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions, you can email the questions at tjonesbts@gmail.com. Of course, the ministry is Beth Hashem Ministry. There are two websites in which you can research about Beth Hashem. It's bethhashem.org, that is bethhashem.org, or we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministry. If you would like to attend services, please email us at bethhashem@yahoo.com for directions. And that is bethhashem@yahoo.com. Again, just so you know, we have the start of the new 2018 class. That's going to begin on May the 20th, which is on a Saturday. And if you desire to attend, through two places. You can research it on the website under the Zool College, or you can email for Zuul, admin, admin, at bethesham.org. And thank you, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi.
Amen. And, Father, right now we thank you for another opportunity to allow you to use us as instruments to share your word, to allow individuals to understand the Hebraic concept of our Judeo-Christian faith and to be able to walk in the fuller understanding of truth, to allow us to see that both New and Old Testament complement each other and they do not contradict one another, and to allow us to fulfill all of that aspect so that we can be exactly an image of the New Testament saints and experience the glory in the manner in which they experienced it as we read it in the New Testament. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for each and every person on the call, and that the supernatural understanding of these things will begin to permeate their minds and hearts, and they'll begin to see in a manner spiritually that they've never seen before and begin to walk in an intimacy and a closeness that they can only find in the Holy of Holies, not in the holy place or in the outer court, but in the Holy of Holies. We thank you for that, Father. We glorify you in Yahushua's name. Amen. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Amen.